Today on Enduring Word Radio with Pastor David Guzik of Calvary Chapel, Santa Barbara.
Some were persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. Not everybody's going to respond to the message. Thank you, Jesus, that some people responded. He spoke to that group 10, 20, 30. We don't know how many it was, but some of them said, "Yes, Paul, I see it. Jesus is the Messiah. I'm persuaded. I'm persuaded not because you're so eloquent, Paul, but I'm persuaded because I see it in the scriptures. I'm persuaded because I know there's something telling me that it's true, and that's the Holy Spirit of God. I believe."
There is power in the name of Jesus. And there is power in His Word. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword that pierces even the soul and spirit and between the joints and marrow. Pastor David will be encouraging us to use the Word of God to minister to unbelievers so they can have a chance to receive salvation. You are still on this earth for a purpose, and that purpose is to glorify God by fulfilling the Great Commission. Now, here's Pastor David in the book of Acts, chapter 28, verse 16, with today's study.
I thank God and I take courage. His past faithfulness to me is a promise of His continued work in my life. And that's exactly what Paul did. And so now verse 16, sort of the words we've been waiting for all the time, the last several chapters, verse 16, "Now when we came to Rome." There's Paul walking into the great city of Rome. Rome was unlike any other city in the ancient world. Rome was its own thing. Yes, you had other great cities. You had Antioch, you had Ephesus, you had Alexandria. Yes, they were great cities, but nothing like Rome. In a day and age when a large city might number 10 or 20,000 people, Rome had a population of 2 million. It was the greatest, grandest, most spectacular city, the center of power all over the world. And when Paul walked into Rome, Rome had been a city for more than 800 years already. The Colosseum hadn't been built yet. Yeah, there were other great buildings. There were temples to Jupiter. There were palaces of Caesar. There was a great temple to Mars. It was a spectacular city in Paul's day. And he came here and he said, "Now I have finally come to Rome. The gospel has already been here. There's already a Christian community. But now I am here and God has brought me to Rome just exactly as He promised." Way back in Acts chapter 19, Paul determined that he would go to Rome. And then in Acts chapter 23, Jesus promised Paul that he would make it to Rome, and he did, despite any obstacle. Verse 16 again, "Now when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was permitted to dwell by himself with the soldier who guarded him." I don't think there was probably ever a centurion more happy to deliver his prisoners successfully than Julius, this particular centurion, was. With all they had been through over the past weeks on the ship, he says, "Yes, thank you." I don't know if Paul won Julius to the Lord, but I believe probably pretty close. You would almost guess it to be a certainty that he did. But finally, he was able to deliver those prisoners, saying, "Here they are. The work is finished. They've all survived. They're ready to be delivered over to you." And Julius had done his job. Therefore, Paul was now able to live in his own house. You saw that there in verse 16. He was permitted to dwell by himself with the soldier who guarded him. You see, Paul wasn't just thrown into a pit of a prison. He wasn't a condemned man, not yet. He was going to appear before Caesar. So what was happening? They put him under some form of house arrest. He was allowed, and we learn this later in the chapter, he was allowed to rent his own house, live there under Roman guard, sort of like with one of those, you know, ankle bracelets where you can't leave your house. It was just sort of protective custody there. You can't leave the house. You got to stay there, but you'll be guarded by a Roman soldier. Now, it's very interesting how this worked. They would change the soldiers out every 4 hours. So every 4 hours, they would unlock the chain that connected them to Paul. A new soldier would come and would sit down next to Paul, just feet away from him, chained to the Apostle Paul to make sure that he didn't get away. Now, could you imagine how those would go every day? New soldier comes in. "Hi, Paul, what's your name?" "Hi, nice to meet you. What do you want to talk about?" "Oh, I don't know. What do you want to talk about?" "Well, I know what we can talk about. Let's talk about why I'm here. Let's talk about Jesus." Can you imagine how many of those soldiers Paul led to Christ over there? Every 4 hours, he had a new soldier. Every 4 hours, Paul would just kind of ring the bell or put the new number up on the screen. Next. Now, this was so successful that Paul, writing in the book of Philippians, which he wrote from this time, Paul wrote in Philippians that many of the Roman palace guard had even believed in Christ. And no doubt it was because of this connection that Paul had with them. One after another. What an amazing work that Paul did. And I love Paul's just heart, his attitude here. He doesn't say, oh, my ministry's over. I can't go where I want to. Oh, I can't serve God because I've got this chain on my wrist. Oh, Lord, who will deliver me? He says, no, they're going to come to me. That's fine. I'll just serve God whichever way I can. And that's exactly what he did. And so Paul did a glorious work there, but his heart wasn't only to speak to the guards who guarded him. But look at it there, verse 17. And it came to pass that after 3 days that Paul called the leaders of the Jews together. You see, Paul had a pattern. Every time he went to a city, he always wanted to speak to the Jews and the leaders of the Jews first. This is because Paul believed something very deep in his heart. He described it in the letter he wrote to the Romans in chapter 1. He said that the gospel of God is revealed and it's here to explain God's plan, but it's given to the Jew first and then to the Gentiles. And so Paul just always had that on his heart. Wherever I have the opportunity, I want to speak to the Jewish people first. I'm one of them. They're on my heart. Jesus was a Jew. All the apostles were Jews. Let's do that. So what does Paul do? Well, normally he would go into a synagogue when he came into a city, but now he doesn't have the freedom. He's got that chain on his wrist. So what does he do? He calls for the leaders of the Jewish community to come see him. And many of them do. That's what's described in verse 17. And it came to pass after 3 days, Paul called the leaders of the Jews together. So when they had come together, he said to them, "Men and brethren, though I have done nothing wrong against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans who, when they had examined me, wanted to let me go because there was no cause for putting me to death. But when the Jews spoke against it, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar. Not that I have anything of which to accuse my nation. For this reason, therefore, I have called for you to see you, to speak with you, because of for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain." I love Paul's explanation. It's a little apology. It's a little, apologetic, I should say, to these Jewish leaders from Rome. He starts off by saying in verse 17, "Men and brethren." He wanted them to know, I haven't forsaken my Judaism. I'm a brother just like you. I'm still a faithful Jew. Simply, I want to tell you about the Messiah that I found. Secondly, he says, also in verse 17, I have done nothing wrong against our people or the customs of our fathers. I haven't disgraced Judaism in any way. I'm not talking to you about tearing down Judaism. I'm talking to you about fulfilling it in the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Thirdly, this is in verse 18, he says, when they had examined me, they wanted to let me go. What's the idea there? Well, the idea there is simply, hey, fellas, the Romans knew I was innocent. Every part along the way, they knew I was innocent. And they just simply wanted to let me go. So he wanted to make that clear to them. And then finally, verse 20, don't miss this one. He says, because for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. Why am I in Roman custody? Why am I a prisoner destined to speak before Caesar? I'll tell you why. I am bound for this chain because of the hope of Israel. Now, what is the hope of Israel? It's their Messiah. Because of the Messiah of Israel, their hope, the focus of their longings and dreams, that's why I'm bound with this. And with that cliffhanger, wondering, well, what do you mean by all this, Paul? Paul says, well, tell me now what you've heard of me. Verse 21, he says, then they said to him, we neither received letters from Judea concerning you, nor have any of the brethren who came reported or spoken any evil of you. But we desire to hear from you what you think, for concerning this sect, we know that it's spoken against everywhere. Notice this first. Paul says, what have you guys heard about me? And the Jewish leaders said, we haven't heard anything about you. Nobody's spoken evil against you. We haven't received any letters from Judea. We don't know anything about you, Paul. But we want to hear what you have to say. Did you notice that in verse 22? For concerning this sect, we know that it is spoken against everywhere. Paul, we don't know you. We don't know what you're about. We don't know anything about these Christians, these followers of Jesus. But we do know this. Everybody talks bad about them. That's what I do know. I wonder if there's not people here this morning just exactly in that same place. You don't know a whole lot about Jesus. You don't even know a lot about Christianity. But this is what you do know. There's a lot of people who say bad things about Christians. I would just advise you to have the same heart as these Jewish leaders did in Acts chapter 28. What was their attitude? Listen, we've heard some bad things about Christianity, so we don't want to hear any more. No. They said, we've heard some bad things about Christianity. Paul, why don't you explain it to us? We want to hear from you. And I think that these Jewish leaders should be commended for their desire to hear the story from Paul and not just to take it on the bad things that they've heard from other people. So great. Look at it here, verse 23. So when they had appointed him a day, many came to him at his lodging to whom he explained. Now, I love this. Listen carefully to these words. To whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets from morning till evening. And some were persuaded by the things which were spoken and some disbelieved. Wouldn't you love to hear that Bible study that Paul gave to them? From morning till evening, the Jewish leaders, and I don't know how many of them were, there were, I don't know, 10, 20, 30, I don't know, just make up a number in your mind. It says many, I don't know exactly what many means. Many of them gathered together before Paul and said, okay, Paul, here it is, it's morning time, explain to us. So they talk, they discuss, he answers questions, he opens the scrolls, he says, look at this, examine this, have you thought about this, look at this fulfilled prophecy, let me show you Jesus here. Did you know he was born in Bethlehem? Well, no, we did. Well, he was born in Bethlehem. Well, did you know he's fulfilling the suffering Messiah, the suffering servant passages from Isaiah 53? No, we didn't know that. He goes through, he explains, it's a beautiful time, just a powerful thing. I would love to be able to see that Bible study. It is our cherished hope that there's some media of this that God will show it to us in heaven. Could it really be heaven if you couldn't know exactly, if you couldn't see this and sit down and have it with subtitles or something you could understand? I suppose we'll be able to understand everything in heaven. But oh, just what a beautiful, from morning till evening, he explained to them. I think Paul never had more fun talking to people and trying to persuade them of who Jesus is and what he came to do. But then finally, notice it here, verse 24, here's the upshot of it. Some were persuaded by the things which were spoken and some disbelieved. Not everybody's going to respond to the message. Thank you, Jesus, that some people responded. He spoke to that group, 10, 20, 30, we don't know how many it was. But some of them said, yes, Paul, I see it. Jesus is the Messiah. I'm persuaded. I'm persuaded not because you're so eloquent, Paul, but I'm persuaded because I see it in the scriptures. I'm persuaded because I know there's something telling me that it's true, and that's the Holy Spirit of God. I believe. And I'll just simply say that can be you today. Why not? Why not believe? Why not just see this word and say, God, I know you're true. I know what Jesus did for me on the cross needs to be my salvation. Why not just be persuaded? How long are you going to put up the fight? How long until you just say, no, this is what I need to believe. This is what I need to follow. Well, some were persuaded, but look at it there at the end of verse 24, some disbelieved. And that's how it is too, isn't it? And this is the wonderful thing about God. God isn't coercive. God isn't going to make you believe against your will. If you choose to not believe, God, well, at least in some sense, I can say, God will respect that choice. And with a tear down God's face, so to speak, I'm speaking figuratively here, God will say, go your own way. I've given you this. You can be persuaded or you can disbelieve, but here it is right in front of you. Now, I find verse 25 fascinating. Notice this in verse 25. It says, so when they did not agree among themselves, that's the first part of verse 25. Now look, I don't mean to be stereotypical in a negative sense here, but I'm just saying that Jewish people, especially from that part of the world, when they disagree amongst themselves, it's usually energetic. And again, I don't mean to speak stereotypically in a negative way, but I think you know what I'm talking about. They sort of like to argue back and forth. They get, you know, the voices get raised, the emotions get up. When I read verse 25, they did not agree amongst themselves. Can you picture that in your mind? Now, please, this is not Paul arguing with them. This is those who were persuaded arguing with those who did not yet believe. They're the ones. Well, no, what do you mean this doesn't make sense to you? He explained it all. Are you kidding? They're going back and forth fighting about this. So what does Paul do? It says, They departed after Paul had said one word. Paul says, guys, stop. Stop arguing amongst yourself just for one moment. I've got one last thing to say to you. And I believe Paul turned to those who disbelieved. I don't know why I made this side of the sanctuary those who disbelieve. I'm sorry. But Paul turned to those who disbelieved and he said this. He said, notice, we're quoting now from the text. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to our fathers, saying, go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. Wow. Paul just drops a little bomb right in front of the people who did not believe. And I just want you to understand what he said to them. He said, it's true what Isaiah the prophet said about you all. He said to you that you hear the words, but you don't understand. That you see what God is doing, but you do not perceive it. And this is your problem. It's right in front of you, but you don't grasp it. Essentially, Isaiah said in this passage, and Paul said it a little bit later, he said, if you reject Jesus, you'll hear, but you'll never understand. You'll see, but you'll never perceive. Your heart is, and it will be hard. Your ears will be closed, and your eyes will be shut, because you really don't want to turn to God and be healed of your sin. That's why you disbelieve. Now, that's a message that's just as true today as it was when Isaiah first said it and when Paul quoted it. Many hear and do not perceive or understand simply because they don't want to turn to God and be healed of their sin. And look, I just want to speak very straightforwardly to you about this. Sometimes I worry if I'm unnecessarily ruffling feathers or offending people, and it's not my heart to do that just for the sake of doing it. But I just feel if I stand before you with an open Bible to proclaim God's truth, that I'm responsible to do it. And here's just simply the message I want to bring. Be clear about the choice you're making. If you choose to reject Jesus Christ and cling to your own way, to not turn to him and to hold on to your sin, then just be very clear about what you're doing. You're closing your eyes, you're stopping your ears, and you're determining, I'm going to reject all that. Why? Because I'd rather live my own way. And as much as anything, what Paul was telling them to do was just to be real about the choice you're making. Look, you can fool me, you can fool other people, but in some sense, it doesn't really matter. But please, in the name of God, don't fool yourself about the choice that you're making. Be crystal clear about it in your mind. And if at the end of the game, that's the choice you want to make, then God, for all eternity, will honor that choice. But I pray you'll make another choice. You pray, I want to see and perceive. I want to hear and understand. I want a soft heart and an open soul towards the Lord. And you turn to him and he'll give it to you. Well, Paul wasn't done with him. Look at verse 28. He applies this now. He says, therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles and they'll hear it. If you don't want it, other people will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had a great dispute amongst themselves. I'll just let you picture that in your own mind. They walked away arguing, not with Paul, but with each other, because some believed, some were persuaded, and some disbelieved. Now this brings us to the last two verses of Acts. I can hardly believe it. 57 studies we've had through the book of Acts. Over a year, and now we come to the last couple verses, but they're glorious. Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, nobody forbidding him. Paul spent 2 years at Caesarea before he got on the ship. Then he spent 2 years in Rome before his trial before Caesar. He lived in his own rented house, and he says, as verse 30 says, he received everybody who came to him. Well, Paul couldn't go out. He was under house arrest. But what does he do? Open house every day at Paul's house. So one person, knock at his door. Who is it? He opens up the door, and it's a slave. a slave named Onesimus. And Paul says, I know you. You're Onesimus. I know your master, Philemon. You've escaped, haven't you? And Onesimus goes, yes, I did. And Paul says, let's work this out. I'll write your master a letter. And that's what happened there. And what did he do? He preached the kingdom of God and he taught the things, verse 31, which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence. Now, I don't know, maybe 2 years of house arrest would shake your confidence. It didn't shake Paul's. Paul woke up every day and said, I can't go out. I don't have the freedom. I can't go out to Corinth or Ephesus or these other places. But you know what? God has me right here and he'll bring the people to me that I need to minister to. And that's what happened. He said, I'll talk to everybody who comes my way. I'll preach to every Roman soldier I'm chained to. Anybody who wants to hear from me, they can come. And you know what I'll do as well? I'll start writing some letters. So let me write a letter to the Ephesians. It was written from this Roman imprisonment. Let me write to the Philippians. Let me write to the Colossians. Paul wrote those letters from this Roman imprisonment, and aren't we glad that he did? Aren't we glad that he had the time to think through those things and to put it down on a scroll for us so many years later? Here's my point. Those 2 years were not wasted. God didn't waste Paul's time, and he won't waste our time. Well, what happened to Paul? Well, since the text ends here, it's reasonable to believe that Luke compiled both his gospel and the book of Acts to be sort of an information brief for Paul before he went on his trial before Caesar. I mean, who is this Jesus that Paul preaches? Luke says, read my gospel and you'll find out. Well, who's this Paul and how did he come into my court? Read the book of Acts and you'll find out. But according to fairly reliable church tradition and history, Paul had his appearance before Caesar and he preached the gospel to Caesar Nero. Now, by the way, Caesar Nero is famous as being sort of a crazy emperor. There's some historical evidence that he didn't go off the rails into madness until after Paul preached to him. It may very well be that his rejection of the gospel played a role in his descent into madness, and he became later a famous persecutor of the Christians and was even said to be responsible for the later martyrdom of the Apostle Paul. Because by all accounts, as much as we know, Paul was released from this Roman imprisonment. Caesar said, I find you not guilty. Get out of my court. And Paul had another 4 or 5 years of freedom where he went around ministering to churches around the Roman Empire. But he ended up back in Rome under arrest. And somewhere around the year 66 or 67 AD, he was beheaded for the honor of dying for his Lord Jesus Christ. But as we leave the book of Acts, look what it says, verse 31. No one forbidding him. Nobody stopping him. The idea behind that is completely unhindered. And think about how glorious it is. God's work, God's message, it's unhindered. It's unchained. The sea couldn't kill him. The soldiers couldn't kill him. The snake couldn't kill him. The indifference of those who disbelieved couldn't end it. God's message went out. No one forbidding him. And friends, that's exactly where we come to today. Great thing about the book of Acts, in some sense, and I only mean this in some sense, but in some sense, is this not the book still being written among God's people today? When we have missionaries going to Ethiopia, is not the book of Acts still being written? When we have interns that we're training up and raising out and pushing out and serving God, is not the book of Acts still being written? When you have God's work going forth in ways small and large, in ways obvious, in ways subtle, the book of Acts is still being written, no one forbidding it. Now, here's what you have to ask. God, where's my place in your ongoing work of writing the book of Acts?
Well, that concludes the teaching portion of today's broadcast of Enduring Word Radio with Pastor David Guzik of Calvary Chapel, Santa Barbara. Join us next time as Pastor David continues teaching verse by verse through the book of Acts. Again, you've been listening to Enduring Word Radio, the teaching ministry of Pastor David Guzik of Calvary Chapel in Santa Barbara, California. You can learn a great deal about Enduring Word Radio by visiting our website. The web address is enduringword.com. That's enduringword.com. You can listen to the rest of Pastor David's messages from the book of Acts, as well as other messages taught from God's Word by clicking on the radio option from the main menu. The best place to obtain Pastor David's teaching is through the Enduring Word Radio podcast. Log on to enduringword.com and click on the podcast option. Once you subscribe, you'll always receive the latest messages from Pastor David. Again, the website for all this information is www.enduringword.com. So log on to enduringword.com and continue studying with us today. If you'd like to talk with someone here at the church, call us 805-730-1400. That's 805-730-1400. Once again, you've been listening to Enduring Word Radio with Pastor David Guzik of Calvary Chapel in Santa Barbara, California, a listener-supported program. Please tune in next time as Pastor David continues teaching verse by verse through the book of Acts. That's next time on Enduring Word Radio.